Blog Talk Radio.
Soli Deo Gloria, once again, 13 letters, yeah, it's the book of Romans right here, y'all, here we go.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel, y'all, it's the power of God which can save us all, in the gospel of righteousness of God's revealed, and who lives by faith the righteous will, yeah, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, y'all, it's the power of God which can save us all, in the gospel of righteousness of God's revealed,
from your slumber rise, a letter from the wise, the book of Romans, the Christian faith summarized by Paul, a bond servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel, chapter 1, 16 and 17 is the thesis, cause I sense a colossal, hearts are harder than fossils, that's everybody's plight, can't solve it tonight, how do sinners get right, in a holy God's sight, amazing is the answer, see, Romans states it candidly, the first three chapters, God's case against humanity, whether it's idolatry or religious hypocrisy, no one could possibly see the charges and say it's not for me. Everybody's guilty, everybody's filthy. Before God on judgment day is where everybody will be. For those who believe in Jesus who suffered and died, yo.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel, yo. It's the power of God which can save us all. In the gospel, the righteousness of God's revealed. And who lives by faith, the righteous will. Yeah, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, yo. It's the power of God which can save us all. In the gospel, the righteousness of God's revealed.
At the cross, the wrath of God was spent on Jesus on behalf of all who repent and believe this. We receive his perfect righteousness. In exchange, believers' cursed lives are his. Behold the blessedness for earth's cold resident. Chapter 4, Paul defends it from the Old Testament. Up to this point, we saw the need for justification. In chapter 5 and following, we see its implications. In service and purity, we yearn for maturity. Empowered by Christ who gives eternal security. Slowly but surely, he removes every vice. Raised to newness of life through our union with Christ. But chapter 7 finds us struggling with sin. It's bugging us within, but he loves us to the end. Even with complications through sin's occupation. For God's consecration, there's no condemnation. The Holy Spirit inside, he comforts like no other. He convinces us we're God's children even when we suffer. Nothing in creation could ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus who saved us. In chapter 9, we see God is sovereign in his mercy. His dealings with Israel shows he's working out his purposes. By the end of 11, it's Jew and Gentile together, united in Christ, so his glory forever.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel, y'all. It's the power of God which can save us all. In the gospel, the righteousness of God's revealed. And who lives by faith, the righteous will. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, y'all. It's the power of God which can save us all. In the gospel, the righteousness of God's revealed. And who lives by faith, the righteous will.
So in view of God's mercy, we remove our worldly uniforms and throw on crucified jerseys. Holy and acceptable, ruled by the divine,
Jesus.
Being transformed by renewal of the mind. Yeshua's design, obedient to the scriptures, with love as the key ingredient in the mixture. The godly man's picture, under the new covenant. Mindful of God, we submit to the government, not passing judgment on weaker brothers. Instead, we spread love to them to keep them from stumbling. When we do this, God will truly then smile, as Christ is glorified through Jew and Gentile.
And
the God of peace, at his judgment seat, will soon crush Satan under our feet.
No doubt.
This is just an overview. Go and read Romans through, and I pray the God of Romans will grab a hold of you.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel, y'all. It's the power of God which can save us all. In the gospel, the righteousness of God's revealed. And who lives by faith, the righteous will. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, y'all. It's the power of God which can save us all. In the gospel, the righteousness of God's revealed. And who lives by faith, the righteous will.
So that's it, man. The book of Romans. But yeah, don't just take my word for it. Yeah, when this is over, grab the word and read it for yourself. You gotta get into God's word and get God's word into you. And there's a lot of good commentaries out there. Grab one. My man John MacArthur, Leon Morris, James Boyce, R.C. Sproul. You gotta get into God's word, y'all. Grace and peace to the 116. Yeah, and we out.
Well, kind
Kanye West couldn't put something like that together. Kanye West put what that guy puts together is complete junk. Welcome, everybody. That's right. You heard some rap music today. Sister AJ sent us over. This is wonderful, Shylin. Now, Shylin is not putting out a record every 5 seconds. But when he puts one out, it's a classic. That's a classic right there. I don't know how long this song's been out. I'm going to find out soon from Sister AJ. But this song's already a classic. And as you know, I am not inclined to listen to rap. I'm not. Rap music's not my kind of, it's like country music. Country music, rap music, not for me. But anything Shylin puts out, it's full of the gospel, it's full of truth, and it's 1,000 times better than anything that Kanye West puts out. Complete garbage. Well, Sister AJ got me started. It's her fault. It's her fault. It's Sister AJ, it's all your fault. And now I'm going to have to nitpick and get all over Dallas Jenkins today because I'm all riled up. You have just tuned in to another weekly edition of Is This the Church? And without any further ado, let me bring on Sister AJ and let's see how she's doing today. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, brother. How are you? I hope you had a blessed Father's Day last week.
Yes, I had a blessed Father's Day. And by the way, let me just say, last week we were not on Wednesday and Thursday. And that's because I was having some issues with my son, Daniel. My son, Daniel, has autism. And Daniel has good days and he has bad days. Well, prior to last week, he was having a really, 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 really bad week. So Sister AJ and Sister Marie accommodated me and let me have the week off so that I can deal with my son's medical issues. And he's at this place called The Respite. And he calls me on Saturday and says he's coming home. I said, well, it's not up to him to come home. He's got to be there for 2 weeks. He says, well, I'm not missing Father's Day. Unbeknown to me, he checked himself out because they can't keep people there by force. So lo and behold, a taxi drives up to the house, and there was Daniel with his two suitcases saying he's home for Father's Day. So he's back home. And he's been behaving himself ever since, thank God for that. But he discovered that he could check himself out, and he did. And because he spoke to the counselors and says, I want to go home. And he said, my dad said, you have to keep me for 2 weeks. And I said, well, only if you want to. Well, why did you say that? And I mean, they put him on a cab and sent him home. So he's home. He's behaving. And let's see how long this lasts. But thank God he's doing okay. He's doing much better. And
yes. Amen.
And we had a good Father's Day. And, of course, he was surmising that Mama was going to take me out for Father's Day, which they did. And he did not want to miss the restaurant because it's not about Father's Day. It's about what he can order. See? So that's, you know, and so it was a good day all around. It was a good day. And so he behaved himself in church, and he's been behaving himself ever since. And you know, that's that. So this was supposed to be his second week. And he was supposed to come back home next Monday. No, not with him. He found a loophole.
Smart young man.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. I guess they're only autistic when it's convenient. you know, so that's that. But by the way, when did Shylin put out this song?
2007, I think.
It's really? Been,
I mean, I just recently discovered it maybe a year or so ago, but yeah, it came out in 2007.
Well, why didn't he get a Dove Award? I mean, if you're going to give
much,
out a Dove.
Too much truth.
Yeah.
They like Snoop Dogg and Kanye better, I guess. Or
well,
Lecrae.
That's right, all of that's rubbish, if you ask me. If you ask me, all of that's pretty much rubbish. So,
right, but I heard last week, I heard you, the week before, when you were on with Sister Marie, I heard you tell her that, you know, you talked a little bit about you didn't like rap music, and I'm not into it, but sometimes depending on the song and what they're saying, I'll listen to it. And so
right.
And you said, well, if somebody think they got a good one, send it in. So I decided to send this in and see what you thought.
Amen. Yeah. Like I said, you know, up here where I'm at, everywhere you go, if you go into a diner, if you go into the barn where they're milking the cows, if you go into anybody's garage, they got country music on. And, you know, I don't like country music.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the country music station up here is called Bug Radio, B-U-G, Bug Radio.
And it
because
bugs
we're up,
you to
we're,
death, doesn't it?
Well, we're up in the country, so it's all bugs. So that's the name of the station. And, I'll sit there and tolerate it because I'm in someone's house or in someone's car.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask me to change the channel, I'd say by all means, hurry up and do it. And it's the same thing with rap music because I listened to Kanye's album. You played the songs from Kanye's album. I couldn't listen. I mean, mm-hmm. I was being tortured listening to that junk.
Yes, it was. I don't see why it won so many gospel awards.
Absolutely.
Those numbers have to be exaggerated somehow because I don't believe it.
No, it's rubbish. It's you know who can list? That's mindless drivel. You know that's
mm-hmm.
that's you know you have to be retarded to listen to that music. Well, to his songs, I'm not singling out rap music per se, but you know, listening to Kanye's album, oh my goodness, how he won awards for that, I don't know.
I don't either. So I figured that this song had a chance to make your list since it was by Shylin. I think he's a reformed guy. Now, I can't speak for the commentaries he recommended in there, though. I can't speak to those.
Well, we know about John MacArthur, right? So
right.
But he mentioned James Montgomery Boyce.
Mm-hmm.
He also mentioned Leon Morris, who's a great commentator. New Testament.
Okay.
He's a New Testament guy. James Montgomery Boyce was the pastor of the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. He passed on, but he was a great speaker.
Okay.
And what they did with James Montgomery Boyce's sermons was they transcribed them and made them into commentaries.
Okay.
He did not sit down and write commentaries. What they did was, you know, they took his audios from his sermons and turned them into commentaries, and then, of course, you know, they edited and did what they had to do to put it into a commentary format. But that's how, you know, Montgomery Boyce, if you get his commentaries on Genesis, are very good. You know, they're pastoral. You get his commentary on the Psalms. He's a very strong Reformed preacher, and of course Leon Morris. And he mentioned MacArthur, and he mentioned one more, which I can't remember.
R.C. Sproul, I think it was R.C. Sproul.
Okay, so we know, and R.C. Sproul is now in heaven. He's another Reformed guy from Ligonier Ministries, formerly of Ligonier, because he's in glory now. So, those are the Reformed guys, you know. Now, there's Reformed, there's, you know, all of the Reformed people are supposed to be Calvinistic. But then in their eschatology, you have people like MacArthur, who is premillennial, but R.C. Sproul, Boyce, and Leon Morris, they're all amillennial. So they don't believe in a literal millennium. They believe that the church right now is in the millennial age. And so that's, you know, so the Reformed camp is divided. You know, their soteriology is Calvinistic, but their eschatology is not monolithic. It's, you know, some right. are in this camp, some are in the other camp. So, Shai Lin, you know, that was all gospel right there. That's all gospel. Kanye's still trying to walk on water, you know. So
most of them are putting out gospelist gospel music.
Mm-hmm,
there's no
sure.
gospel in it at all.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever. So, Well, looking forward to today's show. And so let me pull up the section where you sent over all the audio and set this up for us.
Well, the last time we met, we were looking at Dallas Jenkins and mostly the behind the scenes things about the Chosen, his associations, some things with the actors involved. But we also left off last week with the documentary that was exposing the ecumenical agenda behind it and the things
right.
that the Mormons have been up to. And I think Dallas has become the latest pawn in the game to try to link up and join together with evangelicals. So we left off on that audio. And what I wanted to do this week is begin to do a summation or to begin to wrap up our thoughts on the Chosen. So once
right.
we finish with this, looking at this video from last time, then we can start to try to begin to wrap this up. And I have a way that I wanted to do that using audio, but also basing it on Genesis 3:6.
Okay.
So whenever you're ready with the first audio, we're just going to
okay.
finish up the ecumenical Chosen video.
All right, here it is.
And we started that, or we left off, I'm sorry, at 28 minutes
okay.
last time.
All right, so I'm going to bring it back to 26. Is that okay?
Yes.
So we can get a little feel on this. Okay.
Okay.
Bodyguard therapist to Dallas.
Yes, and I just mentioned Brad in the video that you saw. Brad could retire. Brad could be done with all. He's done more in his life than any of us combined, and could retire, but has felt called to serve the Chosen, and has become a mentor to me, a leader in our team. He has, and as I mentioned to you.
Now, when these guys say he can retire right now, he's done more in his life than all of us put together, but he has chosen. He feels led of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's about the cash. Don't give me that he feels led from the Lord. Because this Joker's in it for the money. That's what it's about with these people.
He wouldn't be in it if it wasn't something that in it that he's trying to do.
Right.
Make money is definitely at the top of the list. They wouldn't do it if it wasn't profitable. Because one thing I noticed about a lot of these Mormon guys, man, they have some business savvy about them. They know how to make
money. Absolutely. You better have some business savvy. You're going to have 28 kids. You
right.
Better be making some money.
You're right about that.
You know, so, no, look, that they're, of course they're, listen, I'll give you a little story and I'll keep it short. I went down to South Africa, Cape Town, right? I mean, we flew into Johannesburg, but then we had to take another flight, which was a 4-hour flight to Cape Town. So we get to Cape Town, and I meet the missionary pastor that I'm staying with, and he takes me out to eat lunch, and he takes me to the business district, and he shows me a mechanic shop. He says, this is owned by a Muslim. Then he took me to a grocery store. This is owned by a Muslim. So we went down every single street and every single store, and it was owned by Muslims. So he says, I'm the only guy down here. He says, I'm the only Christian who runs a profitable business to support ministry. He says, all these other businesses are owned by the ungodly. And what he did was he had aquaponic farms. In other words, he had greenhouses, right? He had what they call tunnels. They're called farming tunnels. And these farming tunnels worked year-round. And what he did was he grew cherry tomatoes in these tunnels. And since he was a former carrier out of JFK Airport, he would grow his tomatoes in South Africa and have them shipped to the United States to be sold here. Think about that. Now, this is a guy who spent 40 years of his life in business. Then he turned missionary. And what he did was he gave to, there were several churches involved in the project, and let's say two churches had it's called a tunnel, but it's really a greenhouse. And there is no soil involved. It's plants in water. And they discovered that you can grow stuff better that way. You don't have to use pesticides or anything like that because it's in a tank. But so each church had, let's say, 2 to 3 of those tunnels. And based on the proceeds, you know, based on the church had to work them, and then he would take their stuff and then ship it. And when the cash came through, he would give the money to the churches so that the churches could, you know, be in the business of winning souls. So, yeah, you look at the ungodly, and they're very savvy. They own stuff, right? Same thing I experienced when I went to London. I wanted to eat goat. I love goat meat. And the people that I was staying with were all Brits who were born in London, but their families, their parents came to England, came to London straight out of Jamaica. So the parents ate goat, right? And so their kids grew up eating goat. And I said to them, boy, I have a hankering for some curry goat. And they took me to, and it was Muslim. So the ungodly, you know, like the Mormons, like others, they know how to turn a business. They know how to make profit. It's only the preacher who gets up and starts fleecing people and, you know, starts conning them for cash.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so...
That's right.
So this guy, when Dallas says, he feels the love of the Lord, it's money. And I hate when they do that. I hate when they're disingenuous like that and they tell you first of all, he's not being led by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's number one, because he's not a Christian.
Right.
And Dallas isn't being led by the Lord either. Sorry.
Right.
You're
and
deceived.
We've seen them say that in various places in the videos we've been watching where they'll say, oh, it's God, and God did this and God is doing that, but we know this isn't God. They may be getting some supernatural help, but it's not from the Holy Spirit.
It's not the Lord. It's not the Lord. It's just not. It's just not. So here's more.
In the video that he kind of listened to God's voice in helping make things happen to get us the set and helping make things happen when it comes to distribution. So you don't, right now you don't have a title. You've had multiple titles over the last year and a half. Leadership, mentorship.
Here's the thing. These people don't care about titles.
Nope.
They care about cash. Only stupid people. I mean, listen, you think a pitcher like, let's say, Max Scherzer or Jacob deGrom, you think they care about the title ace of the staff? It's about the amount of zeros in their contract.
Right. And those titles or benchmarks, that just leads to cash. And that's the only reason they care about them, because it can be a negotiating tool for the next contract.
Right. Because, look, Dallas needs people who know how to get the stuff on the see, it's like anything else. Again, I give this example in the church. Master Prophet E. Bernard Jordan was on his way to becoming a full-time has-been. He was on his way. Then he bumps into Larry Reed. Larry Reed was making a killing on YouTube and on all those other social platforms. They hooked up, and Master Prophet E. Bernard Jordan has experienced a resurrection, if you will.
He's relevant again.
Right. You see, so it's about who can make you relevant. Then Larry Reed is pumping money into him, and E. Bernard Jordan is pumping influence back into him. So, again, you can see one hand washes the other, but none of this is about the Lord. None of this is about the Lord. It's about making money. It's about making money. So, yeah, he's so important, and he doesn't have a title. And listen, the guy wants his cash.
He doesn't need one.
Right. Right. He wants cash. That's what it's about with these guys. It's like the pimp. The pimp, listen, at the end of the day, when you walk in through the door, the pimp wants his money.
Yeah,
you don't
right.
have his money, he's going to slap you all over the place. That's it, you know. What were you doing all those hours out in the street? I want the cash.
Give me more than this.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, are you holding out on me? And that's it. No. Please. That's what it's about. It's, you know, it's like when Jim Baker brings these people on. Oh, he's so wonderful. He's got why? Why does Jim Baker say that? Why does his dopey wife say those things? Because they're pushing his products that day.
Yes.
This guy's right. He's come. The guest is coming with books that Jim Baker's going to be pushing. You know, as long if God's people don't get this, you know, if they don't understand that it's about the cash, it's about the cash register. How many times does that bell ring? Ding, another sale, ding, another sale, ding. That's what it's about. That's right. What it's about.
And as you say often, the devil is more than happy to give them as much money as they want, much fame as they're looking for, because he wants the souls
that
are led astray by what they're doing.
The devil, what does the devil need with cash? What does Satan need with fentanyl? What does Satan need with cocaine? Nothing.
He doesn't need any of that.
Right. He wants people destroyed. He wants people deceived. He wants people polluted. Right? I mean, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Okay.
Servanthood, the last two Christmas specials were kind of a shared maybe brainchild in terms of the original concept, but then you were the one who made it happen. And Brad was someone who came along at a time when we were so busy doing other things, we couldn't do some of these extra things that we thought were valuable, but we just couldn't pull them off, and then Brad made them happen. So now we're one of the key leaders of The Chosen, and we'll continue to help grow our efforts and resources and make sure that everything gets done properly.
Good job, Brad. Thank you.
But I would hope
Here comes the other bozo to pat him on the back and say, good job.
Yeah, Daryl Eves.
Right.
Barney
Rubble. They're all laughing to the bank. They're all laughing on their way to the bank. And the thing is, where are they getting? Are they getting this money from Mormons? Are they turning to Mormons for the crowdfunding? No, they're turning to Christians.
Right. Even though Mormon, there are people from everywhere are donating and supporting and watching the show. If you remember back to the other video this lady did, she mentioned how they saw Dallas's show as a way to make something that would be appealing to evangelicals. So evangelicals were the target, and lots of them are supporting this too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, that's not to say that they won't take Mormon money, but these Mormons are not out to rip off Mormons. These Mormons are out to rip off Christians. That's who they're out to rip off.
Yep.
All right, here's this guy again, this special guy.
Speaking into your audience, that to the broader Christian community, you will see my heart and our heart about coming together. You know, Dallas had some opinions about how things would be done, but Daryl and I produced that. That represents our sort of offering of let's come together. Most people probably don't realize there are a couple Latter-day Saint artists in those performers, you know, and they're some of the most beloved. But guess what? To my Latter-day Saint friends who already know those artists, they're like, you know, who is this Brandon Lake character? You know?
So
I love the fact that our communities are coming together with our celebration and our worship and our faith.
You know, we've spent a lot of years as evangelicals trying to strategize and figure out, like, how can we reach the world for Christ, you know, and we have these conversations about how to do that. And it seems like with The Chosen, God laid the groundwork with some authentic relationships and just did it himself. It sounds like even Dallas didn't even know, you know, the impact that it would have and the fact that it's reaching all different faiths.
I'm very passionate about Mormon Evangelical Dialogue or LDS Evangelical Dialogue, and I've been involved with Robert Millett of BYU and various general authorities of the LDS Church. We've brought people like Rabbi Zacharias and Nick Vujicic to speak in the Letter to St. Tabernacle on Temple Square over the years, and we've seen some.
These are other hoes. That's, right. That's what they are. That's what they are. Right? I mean,
Robbie,
think about
Zacharias is one that was speaking at one of those events at the tabernacle as well.
Right.
And
you,
he's supposed to be
you,
some great apologist.
Some great apologist and smoozing up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not shocked that he would do that because I saw a video when he was telling, he was saying to Joyce Myers, you're such a great teacher. I fell off my chair
yep.
when that clown said that. I said, he's no apologist.
Yes,
there's no way he could be an apologist. There's no way. He was a phony. The guy was a phony.
Mm-hmm.
A complete phony. And that's why all his dirty laundry came out in the end, and his books. Nobody wants his books now.
Right.
Nobody, his ministry, that's been defunct. I mean,
it died with him.
That's it. That's it. He maybe he wasn't a declared Mormon, but with all the women he had, he's a Mormon. I mean, that's, you know.
Yes, he certainly believed in multiple relationships.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, another phony. And
mm-hmm.
and please, Mrs. Zacharias and the daughters, we didn't know. You kidding me? My dog Benji knows. Listen, when I go downstairs and I tiptoe, and everybody's watching TV, and I tiptoe to that kitchen, and I'm grabbing two chocolate chip cookies. I'm trying to steal them without nobody noticing. There's Benji, the dog, looking right at me and starts barking. He gives me up.
You snitch.
That's it. He gives me up, and then, well, who's in the kitchen? And there I am. I'm caught. So even the family dog knows who you are.
Yeah.
Please. The reason why they didn't say anything is because of the cash.
The money coming in.
That's it. That's why Mama stayed quiet and Rabbi, you can do whatever because of the cash. That's all. All right.
Some incredible things happen. That story that you just told is quintessential to what I think God's up to. It's not about the debate. It's not about the black and white right now. We are really seeing the power of relationship. And if you just get to know somebody, it doesn't mean that the doctrine is not important anymore or that somehow it's all about compromising. I'll trade the Trinity in for salvation by grace alone. If you'll, you know, it's not about that. It's about knowing somebody and seeking God in his fullness together.
What a moron pastor, I tell you.
Was a former Mormon and supposedly an evangelical. That's who this couple is, which I said the last time, I think they're just agents that were sent
right.
by the Mormons
right.
into the evangelical world. To corrupt
right, and
them.
The first question, yeah, the first question you have to ask this clown is, then why did you leave the Mormon faith? Why did you become
right.
an evangelical? Oh, because there
right.
was a difference, right? And Jesus says, I want them to worship me. And remember, it's not about a relationship with you and a Mormon. It's your relationship with God.
That's right.
That's the relationship that counts.
And he said that it's not about the black and white, meaning the letter of the word. But, you know, yes, it is about the black and white and what it says in there and what God requires of us. It is the black and white.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Fastest way to grow a bridge is get to the heart. Because the heart will not deceive.
Right.
And you can have the heart with different faith backgrounds. I do believe that. And it will be sorted out later. It really will.
And
like our job is to gather, and that the job of Jesus is to sort it out later, because that's what he said it was.
And he will sort it out later. He'll separate the sheep from the goat. But our job now is to sort it out also.
That's right. And he's talking about the parable of the net. I've heard him and Dallas use this before, and it's not, it's, we just gather and it's the Lord's job to set, to sort it out. But if you just read a couple of verses later, Jesus explains that that's the end times, where he's talking, where at some point they'll be separated on the right and the left and will be judged. Sort of like the wheat and the tares.
Right. Sort it out later. No. It's because when you sort it out later, it's too late.
That's right.
Your history.
What Jesus is talking about in that parable is in the end times, when it's time to
right.
be judged.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, you don't want to sort it out later.
No. I don't want to wait until then.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, it was Jesus who said, if you'll lift up my name, I'll do the drawing.
Exactly.
I'll do the compelling.
I'm really, really excited for this year, and I can't wait for you all to see a lot of the stuff that we have planned, especially really going after the unreached. That's where our hearts have always been.
Yep.
Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. 2 John 9-11.
Daryl, from the beginning, been a partner on this project, so he and I are joined at the hip from now until Jesus comes.
Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Numbers 25:3.
Difference in theology didn't happen until after Jesus left. Like I think we all agree upon the stories of Jesus and his parables and where he's at. It's when it's left, that's where theology kicks in.
Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who will hear you. 1 Timothy 4:16.
And there's like theology on it.
Yeah.
Well, we avoided that.
Because the devil always avoids doctrine. The devil says, go with
That's
your
right.
heart. Go with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the bedrock or the foundation of the ecumenical movement. It's not about doctrine. It's about relationship and things that we can agree on. And
right.
we just need to put aside our differences. But we can't be unequally yoked.
We can't.
We have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather
That's
refuse
right.
them.
And again, Dallas wants to be famous. And he's a household name now. He's famous. He achieved what he wanted. I can't say that he wanted to be rich. I don't know, you know. I do know he wanted to be famous. And he achieved that. Now he's wealthy. Now
his fame, this successful movie director, that's what he wanted. And he couldn't
right.
do it in Hollywood. And the devil presented him with another opportunity.
Look, I'm going to give you another example.
Okay.
In church, every Sunday, we have different people that come up to sing. It is our practice that after they sing, we clap. Now, not everyone who gets up there hits the notes. Sometimes they crack 3 or 4 times in a song.
Right.
So the church is very accepting. And we applaud, we thank the Lord for the song. We know the person's heart. Okay. But if it was a Broadway edition, they would say, we'll call you later, we'll give you a call later. And then you know you're never going to get that mm-hmm. call because you don't have
right.
So that's Dallas. Dallas, when you look at what he has produced, I've watched these shows. They go on and on and on, and you're saying, what is this about? That the actors have a script? Yes. That they have costumes? Yes. That there's a set? Yes. That it's portraying biblical times? Okay. But as far as message, content, storyline, it's a mess. So he wouldn't even make it in Hollywood because only in the church do we accept garbage. It's only in the church.
You're right. Bless his
heart.
It's
only in the church.
That's what they'll say.
Right. Right. I told you, my daughter goes to dance, right?
Yeah.
So I had to sit through 28 performances, okay? The little kids were cute. The little kids come out, you know, they have their little costumes, whatever, and you see them doing their dance moves, and they're 3-4 years old, and you laugh, and you applaud. But I got to tell you, when the kids my daughter's age came on, the 16, 15, 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds, boy, there were some big stinkers in there. They had no business being on the stage. Now, of course, the music teacher who's collecting the monthly fee for the dance school, she's not going to tell them you stink. Why? Because because that's
the
how
money.
She makes her living.
Right?
But you could tell, girl, I would say to my wife, that one's wasting her time. This one over here, that's, oh, my goodness, I'm being tortured. My wife says, can you go outside and sit in the car? And, you know, and as they got older, they got worse.
Mm.
Right? But the dance teacher, the lady who owns the dance studio, she's not going to tell them you got no talent. Why? She needs that cash coming in.
Right.
And I'm sure that some of those parents who were paying that big fee were saying to themselves, what am I doing? My kid's got no talent. He's got no talent. I mean, complete flops. Complete
mm-hmm.
flops as a board. No move. No, and I'm saying, what am I watching? And then these dance things went on for 5 minutes. There was 28 of them.
Oh,
28.
Boy.
And I was just like, you know, shoot me now. Put me out of my misery. Shoot me now. And that's the same thing with Dallas. Dallas, the fact that he's been successful is because of the church. The church will
mm-hmm.
accept. If a man like John Gray can build a mega church, a guy like Jensen Franklin, who's got seven, you listen to Jensen Franklin and you are left scratching your head and you say to yourself,
mm-hmm.
how could this guy have seven campus churches? You're scratching your head. You listen to a guy like Ron Morris, who all he does is talk about tithing, and you say to yourself, how can this guy have a big church? This
mm-hmm.
guy is he is, you know, a dum-dum. It's because the church is willing to accept anything. The church has such low standards. They have not
right.
been, listen, I'm a fair guy. I have watched every episode, and I have the benefit of watching it. I'm not just listening to the audio. I'm watching it because I'm playing the audio. And I'm saying to myself, even with the visual, I'm saying, where is Dallas going with this storyline? This makes no sense. This is absurd. This is stupid. This is asinine. This is pure Charlie Brown. Pure Charlie Brown.
Maybe Dallas expects you to just not try to line it up with Scripture. Maybe that's your problem. You're trying to match it with Scripture. You're just supposed to turn off your brain and just watch it.
But I'd rather watch SpongeBob and Patrick. I'm being honest. It just makes no sense. It's not even good storytelling. It's just not. They just put out this movie in Hollywood, Pixar did, Buzz Lightyear, right?
Uh-huh.
The animated, okay. Now, Buzz Lightyear was a big thing in the Toy Story movies, Toy Story 1, 2, and 3. I mean, it's a big thing, Buzz Lightyear. He's one of the main characters, right? They just put out a movie now that bombed in the theaters. Why? People said, this stinks.
And there were certain other scenes in there, and people decided they weren't going to support it.
Right. Like two guys kissing in the movie, right? You're going to take your four-year-old to see two guys kissing?
Right.
Right?
Right.
But apart from that, which would have disqualified the movie immediately for me, because I would never take my child to see it, and if I had a grandchild, I wouldn't take my grandchild to see it. I don't want my kids and my grandchildren confused.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, the story stunk. The story made no sense.
I heard that too.
Right. So, you see, that's Dallas. Dallas would never make it in Hollywood. As a writer, he stinks. And the other two writers he's got or whatever other writers, they stink too.
So you think he's going to be stuck with this Mormon partnership forever?
He's not going back to Hollywood. He's not going back to that. No, now, let's say if Hollywood says to him, okay, we have figured out that Christians are stupid and you can get them to the movie theater. So, you know, they might throw him a bone that way because Christians are stupid. Because they'll support. Let's say Hollywood comes to him and says, "We want to do the Chosen, the movie." Let's just say an example, right? Let's do Chosen, the movie, because they already have a base of followers. They might offer him that, but then look who makes out like bandits. His other partners. Because he doesn't own it, right?
No, he doesn't, not by himself.
It's been divvied up. So that he's famous now? Yeah, he's famous. But in heaven, he's infamous. Famous on earth, infamous in heaven.
And I don't think I would want infamy in heaven.
Mm-mm. No. 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 See, it's like when I do the Monday nights and the Thursday nights, I know I sound like a broken record. I know people are tired. I've been doing that for this group for 3 years. And I keep hitting, you know, because they have some pastors on the line. They have some prophets and prophetess on the line. I was mentioning a couple of weeks ago, there was one prophet they had there who was always talking about an earthquake for New York. New York's going to have an earthquake.
Right.
The guy was a liar. A liar. Right? I mean, we have to stand up for truth.
Absolutely.
You know, and there's people that are pastoring churches that are fleecing their people nonstop. They've turned God's house into a den of thieves. And like I said, I mean, I can be asked to leave it. I was invited to come on, and the moment they say we no longer want your services, I will be happy to, you know, because it's I'm just doing them a favor. But mm-hmm. I went on with the conviction that I was to speak whatever God put in my heart. And this is what he's putting in my heart. So I can be fired any day. I can be told, okay, brother, you know, you're a blessing and we love you and you're special and, you know, whatever. But I'm always going to speak for the Lord. And that may mean no money. That's okay. Because I didn't come on for the money. I'm the one guy on that line who is consistently telling people on a weekly basis, put away $50 worth of groceries for yourself and your family before you even give any money to your church.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that when you go to the, when they use that scripture in Malachi, that there shall be meat in my house, you know when you go to God's house, there won't be any meat.
Right.
So you better make sure you set aside your money first and make sure you have your little pantry set up. And your pantry should be growing. You should be prepping because if there's another COVID and you try to go to your church to get something, the pastor's going to say that you slipped the tithes under the door. See, now, again, there are many pastors on that line. They're from all over. It's called Pastors on Wheels. And I just, you know, this is me. And that's why I don't get invitations. This is why no one's, you know, emailing me and booking me and telling me to come down. And they don't want this. But this is what Christianity has become. And this is what Dallas and these people found a way to use a Trojan horse to come into the Christian community and tell them this is a gift. This Trojan horse is a gift, but it's not a gift. It's a means of sucking the money out of the Christian community. Because you look at Christian television, and what is everybody on Christian television doing? Sucking the money out of families. That's what they all of them do it. All of them. It's nonstop. It's a nonstop operation. And think about it. Think about all the millions of dollars collected. And then at the end of the year, the pastor says, we're broke. What? We're broke? How could we be broke?
It's a beast. It's a beast and it's constantly hungry.
There you go. There you go. Jim Baker's always crying, oh, we're going to be off the air. If you don't help me, so then go off. That's it. So Dallas is, you know, you watch his programming and it stinks. I have to tell you, and I would be honest, if there was one show that I liked, I would say, okay, this one was okay. All of them are horrible. Every single one of them, they're hard to follow. They're hard to follow. The storytelling is just poor. It's just poor. So that's my take.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have audio number two up here. What's this one about, audio two?
Well, most of the rest of these audios are going to mm-hmm. be clips that I use for these different points I'm going to make. Most of them are only a few minutes long, so I'll let you know when we need them. But I wanted to start out, like I was saying, you know, we could go on with Dallas forever probably, but I would like to wrap it up. And I wanted to begin a summation of sort this week. And when I was preparing for the show, Genesis 3:6 kept coming up because I was thinking about how Daryl Eves, Dallas's partner that he's joined at the hip with, in that one video he talked about how his target audiences were number one evangelicals, and a subcategory to that is women, you know, especially the 25 to 45 age mm-hmm. bracket, which, as you pointed
right.
out, is that the prime earning age at for women or for anybody. You know, you're finally getting into your careers and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff. You're pretty much in your prime at those ages. And so, and of course, we know the devil always has targeted women. From Genesis, Paul talked about it, how in 2 Corinthians 11, how Satan or the serpent beguiled Eve with his craftiness. You know, 2 Timothy 3, where it talks about the false teachers creep into women's houses, and the Lord himself talked about it in his rebuke of the Pharisees and how they devour widows' houses. So that's always been a tactic. And I was also reading Genesis 3:6 and how it broke down, how after Eve and her conversation with with the serpent, which we know Satan was driving that, that he caused her to, quote unquote, see the tree of knowledge for three things. So, and similarly, Dallas Jenkins and his partners want to do the same thing with us. He wants to cause us to see the chosen the way that Eve saw the tree of knowledge. And so I wanted to read Genesis 6 and feel free to interject, correct, or whatever you want to add to this. As always, Genesis 3:6. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and desirable to make one wise. And then from there, she did two corresponding actions. She took of his fruit and ate, and then she also gave to her husband, and he ate. So that's how I had this divided up, to talk about my take on the chosen. So number one, point one, of course, is that she saw that the tree was good for food, and the chosen is being promoted as being good for food, spiritual food, because you got Dallas and his study guides that they want you to buy. Churches are doing preaching and Bible studies and sermon series on it. And as a matter of fact, I found out that a church here where I live did a series on the chosen. And so they're feeding it to the people as food, and individuals are doing it individually when they buy the materials and do studies. So the next couple of videos, I wanted to kind of speak to this. The first one, audio two, is mega church pastors react, and it's just, and both basically these are just showing how these folks are reacting, pastors recommending it. So this the second audio is that. So mm-hmm. you can play that whenever you're ready. Two this one and number three we'll use for this point.
Okay, here it is.
What I love about the chosen is that it gives us a tool, a medium that can help us visually in the language of our world do this. And by the way, just so you know, I don't have an investment in The Chosen. I'm not going to make any money off The Chosen. Crud. But I believe in doing what Jesus called us to do.
See, you see the mind of the pastor. The
mm-hmm.
mind of the pastor is on money.
Yes.
See how, I mean, that's the first, you know, oh, boy, I missed out on an opportunity to invest. I'm mad. And then the crowd laughs, like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you laugh at the fact that your pastor is overtly drawn to money? And this is,
mm-hmm.
you constantly hear this. all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, he's, the Bible warns against that. And
that's
it
right.
just goes to show, it just goes to show again, the pastor doesn't realize what he just said, that the Chosen is not about ministry or bringing people to Christ. This is a money-making venture.
Absolutely.
With the few people on top making the cash.
So it's like a pyramid, the typical pyramid scheme.
Right, right. Instead of collecting tithes and offerings, they're crowdfunding for a movie thing. But each one of these guys in the contract gets his slice. He gets his money.
Mm-hmm.
See, so think about it. The pastor's mad because he didn't get in on the ground level.
And listen, all
these guys, you see, because the pastors today, they act like CFOs. Every single senior pastor that I know of walks around like if he's CFO, chief financial officer, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, the wife is the second in command when it comes to the money. For these people, it's about what do the receipts show came in this Sunday. They don't leave the church until that money is counted.
Until they know what the take is.
There you go. See? That's what this is about. That's what it's about. It's not about the gospel. It's not about winning souls. It's not bringing people to Jesus. No. It's about popularity, fame, what products can we sell, and what's the take? How much came in? All right.
In sharing his story and how it impacted us, and when you watch this, yeah, when you watch these series, you're going to relate to a character, and you'll be able to partner in sharing Jesus through your story and their story and help identify. It's really a wonderful way to build us up. Our mission is a 16-word mission: to wake the world up to Jesus, to show them his love, tell them his truth, and involve them. And I want you to know, though we're using contemporary language, it's no different than exactly what Jesus was doing in the Gospels and what was happening in the Bible characters' lives. They were waking up to the reality of Jesus and forgiveness and grace and truth and hope. He showed love, and then they showed love. Then he told truth, and then they experienced it, and then they told truth, and he involved them, and then they went around the world involving, and that's what our church is still involved in. And The Chosen is a 16-word media project, which is really, really exciting to me. I've been a pastor for like 35 years. I've been a believer for a very, very long time. And I sat there and woke up to Jesus in brand new ways as I watched this thing. I mean, I saw his love in ways that I've never seen it through a media project before. And I experienced the truth and how that would be impacted because I was seeing the unique interactions and how Jesus was involving people. And I'm just telling you, keep exposing yourselves to things that are going to wake you up, help you experience his love and his truth, and get involved so that you can then be a part of making a difference in this world. Let's become vital people of faith together.
Wow, if a pastor said to me, this show woke me up, I would say, see you later. See,
exactly.
Because
like,
this show
what
is new.
Mean, this show woke you up. Yeah, this is
right. This show is new.
2020.
Right. So you've been all these years. You've been asleep, and I've been here, and you've been asleep to Jesus.
But I see that a lot in the comment sections of a lot of these videos that people say that this made me see, I've been saved all my life and it makes me see Jesus in a new way. And that's a common comment. But as you said, it's appalling for a so-called shepherd to be saying that.
Right. Especially when these shows are complete rubbish. I mean,
right.
you mean to tell me that you just woke up when you saw Jesus get up at 2 in the afternoon and he was mad because the kids didn't let him sleep an extra hour?
Right.
That woke you up? I mean, how superficial? How superficial?
Or unless he's lying to try to promote the show to people. I mean,
right.
Is he getting some kind of kickback from Dallas Jenkins or something? Or are these, because I don't know if these people just voluntarily do this on their own or not. I don't know how that works.
They like to be in the loop. They like to be in the conversation. They, you know, they like to be in the hip crowd.
Okay.
This is why John the Baptist stayed in the wilderness until the Spirit, you know, led him to preach repentance, because he didn't want to be part of the hip crowd. You're wasting your time chasing people in the hip crowd. And this pastor just fine. He's just trying to be a hipster. You know, this
well,
is a
you
60
can see
year,
from
this
how
is
he's
a 60.
Dressed.
Yeah, this is a 60-year-old. Trying to be, you know, a 20-year-old. That's what this is. That's, you know, a hipster.
Yeah. And there, I saw a few videos. Greg Laurie, of course, is promoting this. You know, you
sure.
heard that yourself on the radio.
Right.
And
right.
then there was another pastor that actually made people take out their phone and download the Chosen app, and he walked them through the steps to do that. So whether you wanted to or not, there you were downloading the app for the Chosen.
Right, 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 right. And of course, there's going to be a bunch of lazy pastors who are going to get the videos or the DVDs, and they're going to play
yeah.
them in church and then have a group discussion. Right?
Yeah, they're doing it in their small group discussions, Bible studies, sermon series.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. And the Mormons are laughing all the way to the bank. And Satan is laughing all the way to hell. Why? Because he's seducing people. Seduction.
Yes.
The seduction. That's what it is. Seduction.
And
so,
and the third audio three there is group leaders reacting just to show how the people who have a leadership or teaching position in some of these churches are doing the same thing.
Right.
Seeing this as spiritual food.
Okay, here it is.
Are you having a party? Our particular small group has been meeting for a while, and so we know each other really well, but the Chosen, you know, majoring on Jesus and who he is and his disciples kind of allowed a different perspective and different point of view.
I'm kind of a visual learner, so it just kind of drew me in, and I couldn't wait every week just to see what was next. I was captivated through the whole series.
I felt like I was being drawn to a place of worship because of the goodness of who the Lord was.
I think sometimes it's easy to forget that God was somebody that made jokes. God was somebody that was human just like everybody else. And that made me realize, you know, the magnitude of what God really did.
But it was such a beautiful depiction of Jesus. That was what I loved.
The way that he talks to the people and how his eyes are just full of compassion and grace. To see it, it just like hits you deep.
There's just a way he has about him, the way he relates to people, that he never gets ruffled or stirred or frustrated. And I think, you know, for all of us today, if we really want people to see who Christ is through us, we've got to aspire to be like that.
By whom do you teach? Certainly not the authority of any rabbi from Nazareth. Where did you study?
Your faith is beautiful.
That, for me, made me question the way I conduct myself every day with work or the guy that cuts me off in traffic or really anything. It's a challenge that's going to be a lot of hard work on my part.
We see these different characters come to see Jesus for who he is or are coming to follow Jesus, and that will often relate back to our own lives that we've talked about, and that was really fun.
Some of the folks had just dropped everything they were doing and followed. You know, and I think that's what God wants from all of us today, and we all struggle with giving things up, turning things over.
I raved about the episode 8 with the woman at the well just because of my story and about God's grace and how he loves us and knows us, knows all of us and still loves us. And so I think that allowed, you know, our small group to go deeper and deeper with Jesus being the center.
Hey, it's Dallas, I'm the creator of The Chosen, and yes, season one of The Chosen is complete. All 8 episodes, they're available right now. You can look up The Chosen in the App Store or Google Play, and we're easy to find. You can download it and be watching within minutes. And in fact, it's unprecedented technology. You can connect to almost any device you have directly, and you don't even need a subscription. So I hope you'll check out season one of The Chosen right now.
Yeah, hope you check it out.
Sure.
Yeah, that was interesting that these are group leaders that acting as if they discovered the Bible for the first time or something, and the one guy was like, you know, we didn't know something about but finding out that God was human or that he told jokes. It's like, first of all, the Bible doesn't really give us that much an idea of what Jesus's personality was like, whether he was more of a serious, quiet type or extroverted and jovial. We don't know that for sure. And it's easy to know he came here as a man because you could just read it in the scriptures. You know, so I didn't get that comment. And then another guy was like, well, Jesus never got angry or whatever, but I'm like, well, when I look at some of his exchanges with the Pharisees, you know, he definitely showed his indignation with them, and also the cleaning of the temple, you know.
That's
so
why,
to
again,
make it,
you can, yeah, that this is why,
go
you
ahead,
know,
sir.
These people never read the Bible, because the statements that they make are just purely stupid. They're misinformed, right? When a guy says I'm a visual learner, well, dude, you're gonna be in a lot of trouble, because we're supposed to be reading the book. You got to read the book.
Well, it's a misconception that if a person is a visual learner, that means they can't get anything out of reading. That's not true. Part of visual learning is reading, where the person does better if they have written out instructions for things, let's say. You know, so reading is a part of visual learning, too.
And look, let's say you're reading a secular novel, or let's say you're reading Shakespeare or whatever. Every author
mm-hmm.
paints a picture for you in your mind.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right? Jesus talks about the sower went forth to sow seeds, and already you have a picture in your mind, right,
right.
of the sower going. So these people are just, and they're group leaders, my goodness. Couldn't you find a better group leader?
Do you think pastors are always aware that they're group leaders and subordinate pastors are this biblically illiterate?
They want them that way, because then they can con them. See, that's it. They can, you know, and you see, pastors want you to come to a feel-good church. Everything is feel-good today. And like you said, I don't think Jesus made people feel good when he took that scourge that he made and started whipping everything in sight. I don't think that was a feel-good Jesus.
No, it
right?
wasn't.
when he overturned the tables and he threw out the money changers, and he was yelling and telling them that they've taken his house and turned it into a house of merchandise. So, again, these people don't know Jesus. And listen, it's not just the Jesus of the Gospels. When you look at Genesis 3:16, when it says, and the Messiah will bruise the serpent in the head, that's the first mention of the Messiah is full-out war.
That's right.
It's war. And then you read Malachi chapter 3, where it says that the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come into his temple. And who shall stand in the day of his coming, and who could withstand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He's coming to clean house.
That's right.
Right? So, and the people, when he comes to clean house, the people who like it dirty don't want him anymore. Because they like a dirty house, and he's coming to clean house. It's his house, but they've hijacked it. So it's all out war. That's why when you read the two accounts, or rather the Matthew, Mark, and Luke account, starting in Matthew 21, it says as soon as Jesus overturned the tables, they sought a moment, they sought a way, an opportunity that they might kill him.
Mm-hmm.
There was no ecumenical movement there. They weren't locking arms and singing Kumbaya. No. So these people, these group leaders don't know Jesus. None of them know Jesus.
Especially if they think that Jesus in the Chosen is an accurate representation. Oh, Jesus told jokes.
Right.
You don't know that he did any of that.
Right.
And neither does Dallas Jenkins.
Right. And to suggest, Paul recommends, he says, put aside foolish jesting.
Mm-hmm.
Put aside.
Yeah, he did.
Right? I had a friend. He was my best friend. And I had to stop taking him places with me. Like, for example, he said, where are you going now? I says, I'm going to go visit somebody at the hospital. He says, can I come? I says, come. So we're at the hospital, and I'm praying for somebody, and he would say to the guy that I'm praying for, are you about to die? And the man said, no, pastor's here to pray for me. He says, I asked you that question because the pastor has bad breath. And he was always making these jokes in the most inappropriate time. When I'm doing something serious, he was always goofing around.
Right.
So I had to stop. I had to stop bringing him with me because he was a nuisance, and he was my best friend. He was a wonderful guy. He had a stupid sense of humor.
The clown or something.
Right. Right, a stupid sense of humor and bad timing. Bad timing.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a place for that. And then there's places when, you control yourself and I'm about the king's business and here you are asking this man, the man's in the hospital, and you're asking him, is he about to die? And the man's looking at me, he's looking at me like he's confused. And then my friend says, well, this guy's got bad breath. He should have killed you by now. And the sick guy is looking at me like, what is he doing here? Is he a clown or something? I mean, is he the hospital clown? What, did you bring this guy? So, there's no room for that. Ministry is serious business. You're talking about heaven and hell. You can't be cracking jokes.
Right.
And that's what's so bad about Joel Osteen. He doesn't start the sermon with at least from what you see on television, he never starts off with a scripture verse. It's always some joke.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if at the live church service he starts out with a scripture verse. I don't know if it's edited.
No.
but on
a
his...
couple of streaming. We watched a couple stream services, so no. Mm-mm.
Right, every week. Now, he must work really hard to get these jokes because every week it's a new one.
Probably looks at a lot of jokes online or people send him stuff, I'm sure.
Right, right. But no, there's no place for that nonsense in the pulpit, in the ministry. Now, I'm not saying be a sourpuss 24/7, but, you know, there's no place for that. There just isn't. We're dealing with souls. We're dealing with eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's just horrible. It's horrible.
So is it because of the biblical ignorance of preachers, group leaders, and everybody underneath them? Is it that kind of why they look to things like The Chosen to help them teach biblical principles, even if what Dallas is promoting in it isn't really biblical? But do you think that's why they turn to this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, listen, maybe their pastor gets up at 2:00 in the afternoon, and since their pastor does, they think it's okay for Jesus to get up at 2:00 p.m. I don't know. You know, maybe they're used to their pastor passing gas, and maybe since their pastor does it, they think it's okay. I guess, you know, that makes Jesus more human.
And of course, they're used to their pastors having to practice their sermons and all
true.
That kind of stuff.
Right.
So they think Jesus must have done it too.
No, it's just I just think that those four church leaders that spoke should not be group leaders. I'm sorry. You don't know who Jesus is? You think that's Jesus? And then the one lady says, "Oh, that chapter with the Samaritan woman. That's where I was." Okay, lady, we don't need to know that you were into adultery. You know, or, you know, whatever your situation was, that you should not be leaning towards that show because one of the episodes, you know, was dealing with your sin or reminded you of your sin where God took you out. That's not a reason to love the show. That's not a reason to, you know.
It's geared toward women and to pull
right.
at their emotional strings.
Exactly. And Dallas is going to keep doing that. That's why he's got a ton of women in those shows.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a ton of them. And that Mary
yes.
Magdalene, boy, she better ask for a raise because he's censoring, you know, think about it. Think about, you know, you would have to say, wait a minute, that portrait has her likeness.
Yeah, I was just thinking that her image and likeness. How much is she getting out of that?
Right. And the thing is, listen, if he was to replace her, there would be an uproar.
Yeah,
because he already built her up. He already built her up. So she's pretty much like Jesus, the Jesus character. They're pretty much in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're selling portraits of my image? Am I getting any royalties?
Because it's in the contract that she signed them away or something.
And don't tell me that I should be happy that my image is out there. No. You're getting paid for it. You're getting money for that image. But, all right, here's audio 4. Now, what is audio 4? Another pastor?
No, this is just some general YouTubers that have watched the show and posted videos And what this speaks to is the next point, that Eve saw that the tree was pleasant to the eyes. And for the chosen, I'm mainly talking about aesthetics, costuming, set,
right,
filming locations, that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
Right. Okay.
I would argue I haven't seen a great Christian movie or TV show. And people, I'm telling you, you need to watch this.
I'm typically a bit suspicious of stories of life of Jesus kinds of things because it just seems like I'm constantly disappointed.
And I find that Christian media always seems to be just a little cringeworthy, a little, like, second best.
This new TV series that is kind of changing my life right now.
What I really love about this show is that it doesn't feel preachy like a lot of Christian movies. The way the camera kind of sways and bobs as it follows the action lends an almost documentarian vibe that makes me feel like I'm just witnessing a story unfold. No agenda, no sermon, just good old-fashioned storytelling. Christian filmmakers should take note. This is how you do it.
You're not watching some show about the Messiah and the Gospels. You're inside the events taking place in that time period.
I love how the Bible literally feels like it comes to life.
Every single actor just knocks it out of the park.
But their performances were spot on and absolutely fantastic. The whole production quality is very high. Like, it looks really good. I couldn't stop binging it. I watched the first one. I had to move on to the second one. When that was over, I had to hit the third one. Matthew feels like a real historical figure now. Simon Peter, with all of his hot-headed problems, is the kind of guy that I probably wouldn't have gotten along with in real life. But still, I empathize with him now.
You'll encounter them in this series in a new way. And I think it's really going to change you.
It really does seem like that's what they would have been like in real life, especially Simon Peter. We saw Jesus in ways that we had never seen before.
The actor who played Jesus was just amazing at the role. Jesus laughed and cried. He had a personality. He was likable the first moment he showed up on screen. Like, for the first time I've ever seen him portrayed on screen like this, he has a sense of humor, which is awesome, because you look at him and you're like, yeah, I could hang out with that guy.
And one of the things I'm noticing with this beautiful TV series, The Chosen, is it gladdens my soul. It fills my soul with a delight. My soul feels good.
And The Chosen is the most beautiful gem I think I have found in such an extremely long time. And quite honestly, it is the most moving series that I've seen.
And I just watched it for the second time, actually, which is kind of giving away how I feel about it.
I've watched the whole series now about three times.
And if you're going to binge watch anything, binge watch this. And then binge watch it again.
Woo, that bang! That show right there.
Go watch it as a family. Like, there's some quality quarantine viewing.
Yes.
You're going to learn a lot. And honestly, seriously, what a fun way to study the Bible and to have your God time.
The Chosen series is going to make you a better Christian. It's good, and it's a real gift from the Lord.
Out of 5 stars, what would you rate The Chosen?
I would say it was 5.
I give it 2 enthusiastic thumbs up.
This was incredible. I mean, it just drew me in, and I'm giving this an A.
For the love of God, go watch The Chosen.
It's so beautiful. And I was looking so forward to share this with everyone.
Gotta say, yeah, this is different. And different is good.
Regarding The Chosen, you've now heard the review. The choice is up to you.
Yeah, what was the review?
That I was thinking, I wonder what Todd Friel would think if he saw that little clip of himself in this. Because it was kind of
misleading.
Pedal, I thought. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, those poor
so
people, they don't know. Poor souls. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Poor babies.
You were talking about the acting and because that's part of making it look a certain way is the the actors and how they portray different things, and even sometimes their attractiveness or not. I mean, most of the people in this series are not they're decent looking, most of them.
Right.
At least most of the main characters, and so that's important to making it appealing to the eyes.
Well, again, that's part of the casting, right? You, Dallas knew what he was going to do, and he's done it. You know, he's done it, and he's raking in the bucks. You know, and he's accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. Now, many will be shocked on Judgment Day when he gets reproved and rebuked for having produced a series which makes a mockery of Jesus.
That,
you know?
Right, that led to that deceived the people of God because it was targeted to them primarily. Now, they claim they want to use it as a witnessing tool and all that stuff, but Christian evangelicals in particular were the target for your money. And, of course, the devil loves to be able to lead us astray, to make us think we're on the narrow way when we're really on the wide way, and he loves to
try
and do that.
Right. Well, poor, you know, the group leaders didn't know what they were talking about. These poor brothers and sisters in this video clip we just watched didn't know what they were talking about. That poor pastor who is lamenting that he didn't get in, you know, at the ground level. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And, you know, that's the way, you know, it's like when people started buying the Roman Catholic outfits. I was warning them, but they didn't care. It's a fad. It was a fad. And so now they, you know, and see, and here's the thing. This is the thing, Sister AJ. You know, it was when, as you know, in the Roman Catholic Church, they don't have a million bishops. They don't. They have a set number of bishops, a set number of archbishops, a set number of cardinals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Roman Catholic Church is supposed to be worldwide, which they are. So they have a set number for cardinals, archbishops, and bishops. Well, if you take just the African-American church, if you take all the bishops in the African-American church, they have more bishops than Rome has archbishops, cardinals, and bishops.
Right. Is it Bernard Jordan an archbishop now or something?
He just became an archbishop, and also he just became a doctor.
Oh, boy.
So now what's left for him to accomplish is Messiah. Because, you know, and when, you know, you chase these things, and then when you get them, you say, and for what? And
they don't,
for what?
They're meaningless.
They're meaningless. All this stuff is meaningless. But people, you know, they'll strive for things that aren't worth anything. And then what's really worth something, they don't strive for. What's a true value, they don't pursue. They don't chase.
They don't lay up treasure in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's where we're at. That's where we're at. Okay, we got audio 5 here. The chosen
costume. That's just the... Right, just some chosen super fans that Dallas has taken under, put his arm around, and he has them doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and this is just to show the costuming and what they are saying about that.
Right, right, right. I wonder why Dallas doesn't have his wife doing things behind the scenes. Oh, because these are volunteers. I get it.
Yeah, well, his wife, they write that she helps write the study material that everyone's buying. That's her job behind the scenes.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
She's a co-author
on all those study books.
Sure, using her imagination. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So we all know The Chosen has some amazing costumes. Where do they even get their costumes? On Amazon?
And Simon, tunic so short. Today, we're going to get to the bottom of all of your questions and maybe try a few costumes on.
We are here today with Lee Ima, who essentially is the head of the entire costume department for The Chosen.
I do a lot of research, then I do a lot of shopping for fabric because we like a lot of texture and color. An average tunic full length is 6 yards.
Can we go see the costumes?
I really want to see them. Yes,
okay. Now here's some of our closets.
Oh my gosh!
So two Matthew cloaks. How many costumes does each disciple have? He has three.
He's upper echelon because he was a tax collector.
Right.
Where these guys are fishermen. This season, he'll get new clothes.
Okay, because he's now a disciple.
Yes.
That's right.
And he wants to get rid of his Romanesque clothes.
Okay.
Interesting. Little preview into season three. Which character has the biggest wardrobe out of all of them?
Atticus. Because he has to hide. He's on rooftops seeking out people. He was a magistrate. This is his Roman attire, but he just has a basic tunic for when he's an everyman, and then his badge of honor.
Oh.
The secret police.
The secret police.
That is awesome.
Look at that. Out of all the outfits you've done, do you have one of your top favorites, and why?
Tamar I like because she was different from the other ones because she's from Egypt. Let's step over to her.
Okay, so
I had this necklace built by a local artist. You'll find out more about her and why she always wears her jewelry.
Can I pick it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's heavy.
Wow, that's the biggest necklace I've ever seen.
And then I found...
Oh, my God.
Aha,
so
the necromancer.
Yes.
In cities like Jerusalem or Capernaum, we usually have anywhere between 60 to 75 extras a day. Well, I have a team of people that will dress them.
For the feeding of the 5,000, you're not going to clothe all of those people, right?
No, actually, we just finished the book yesterday.
You've created a book for all those various types of costumes.
Right, you've got
and what they
pictures and things of that nature that we'll send out digitally to those people.
So you are helping these thousands of extras along in their creation of their own costumes. We're avoiding zippers and buckles, anything overly shiny. These are some great examples of belts that we've picked up at thrift stores. So I was at the Sermon on the Mount in my own Israeli garb, and it was really cold that day. Mary Jo, one of our fans, she was wondering, do you have to equip these different characters with undergarments or things to keep them warm?
Everybody has a set of thermals, multiple sets of thermals.
Okay.
Because we shot when it was pretty cold last year. And we have body warmers and hand warmers and stuff like that.
I was wondering how they survived. Can we try some on?
Okay.
I've always wanted to wear one of the professional real costumes. And it would be kind of fun if you chose a few costumes for us individually, and then we can guess who the other one is.
Let's do it.
Okay. Can we do that?
Sure.
Okay, let's go for it.
Per COVID rules and union rules, I can't actually put on the costumes of the principal actors, but we came up with a little solution that I could sort of, with the hanger, wear over top and put it in front of me. So that's what we're going to go with.
All right, you ready?
Who am I?
You're Atticus.
No. Haven't you ever wanted to do something meaningful?
Judas! Yeah. Jesus of Nazareth!
You're Tamar.
Oh my gosh, it's Matthew!
I'm Matthew! Mary.
Which one?
Magdalene.
Yes, you got it! 1, 2, 3. Oh.
Who am I?
I have no idea.
What if I do this?
Oh, yeah, you're Simon Peter, for sure.
I am Simon Peter.
With a little bit smaller muscles, but, I mean, you also need to roll up your pant legs if you really want to look like him.
No, I have chicken legs. I'm not rolling
Come
up my pants.
Come on, just do
no.
it.
I and so many are wondering, why is this tunic so short?
Because he tightens his belt tighter all the time, and he raises his hand, your tunic rolls up, but it doesn't go back down because your belt is so tight.
No other disciples have the sleeveless.
Well, so does Andrew. Fabric costs money, so they had enough for a sleeveless garment.
Can I ask, what are the tassels hanging
yeah.
off the bottom?
Those are called tzitzit, Jewish tassels, for the four corners of a garment. There are 613 Jewish laws, and there are 613 knots
okay.
in here. And the blue, the long blue, is for the Messiah.
So there's so much symbolism
wow.
in every detail of this garment.
Yes.
Wow.
Can I pull my pant legs down now?
Yep. This is the Darth Vader of first century Israel, the Egyptian necromancer.
Yes. Cats were very revered in Egyptian culture,
mm-hmm.
hence the cat mask.
Okay.
And all these are real bones.
Oh, my gosh. Ew, I don't even want to touch
real
it.
Real bones?
Like animal bones or
yes,
human
animal
bones?
Bones?
Okay, well, that's
what animal?
They went out, and there was roadkill. They were clean, sanitized before they went on.
I'm going to go take this off my head.
Well, we just spent time hanging out with Leila, learning more about the wardrobe and how
yes.
all of that is done. As we are gearing up for season 3, let us know where you would like Kristen and I to go next.
Before we go, I love competition, and we just had a really cool little costume off. Who wore it better?
Oh,
Kristen as the Egyptian necromancer or Simon Peter
Ow.
With his huge muscles?
I think I'm going to have to say yes.
Yes!
Sorry, honey.
Why don't you leave a comment and say who you like better, Chris as Simon Peter or Chris as the Egyptian necromancer?
And while you're doing that, you might as well like and subscribe and share this video.
Yeah, so... Again, another dopey group of people.
Yeah, they're super fans
yeah,
of the show.
Putting emphasis.
And somehow they were. Go ahead, sir.
No, I was just saying putting emphasis on dopey outfits instead of content.
Right. But ask to make it look good because you know people can be impressed just by the look.
Sure.
Couple days ago, I was looking at one of those crime documentaries that I look at sometimes, and this one was about Bernie Madoff. I don't know if you remember him, you know, the king of Ponzi schemes.
Right,
And the people were saying one of the reasons they trusted him is because he looked like he knew what he was talking about. He looked the
mm-hmm.
part.
Right.
And we do that
sure.
with a lot of preachers, too. You know, they,
sure.
they can clean themselves up well on the outside. That's what Jesus talked about. They clean the outside
mm-hmm.
of the cup, but the inside is messed up. So, but the costuming is a big part of why people like shows like The Chosen,
mm-hmm.
the aesthetics.
Right, right. I tell you, that's a good point about Bernie Madoff looking the part, because when you look at these shysters, these people who rip, you know, they say invest in this and that, they'll roll up in a very expensive car. What I have, you can
mm-hmm.
have. Just invest.
Right.
But meanwhile, they have that car because you, the dum-dum, handed over your money. It's not because
exactly.
investment. You know, they're using your money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's video number 6. Go ahead.
And this speaks to point number 3, which is that the tree was desired to make one wise, and that's
mm-hmm.
what The Chosen presents itself as, where you can read the book and look at the videos and the study materials, and you can get to know the authentic Jesus and improve and deepen your relationship with him. We've already heard a little bit of this, but it's another video from the two characters we just saw, but this one
mm-hmm.
is talking about just how they ended up even being with Dallas on The Chosen is kind of what this is, their backstory.
Okay. Here it is.
Hey, my name is Kristen, also known as...
I'm going to rewind. Okay.
Hey, I'm Kristen, a.k.a. Chris.
Hey, I'm Chris of Chris and Chris, and this is my chosen story.
So one of the biggest lessons that I've learned over my life is that when you really get to know the authentic Jesus, it changes everything.
First time I saw an authentic Jesus in any kind of fiction was when I was 18 years old and I read the Chronicles of Narnia for the first time.
I grew up in a Christian home, actually a pastor's home, so I was a TK, but I never really had that deep experience of really knowing Jesus to the point that it changes you deeply, right? And along with that, I experienced some traumas, some things that happened to me that really started introducing these lies that I believed about God. I watched a lot of TV and movies, and of course, Christian media doesn't always have the greatest rep, and movies and things started really confirming these lies that I believed about Jesus.
I've been a Christian all my life, but really growing up, I never really seen Christian media be anything other than cheesy or boring. He's got no personality whatsoever. He's so stoic. He's so far away. So the first time I read the Chronicles of Narnia, that whole picture changed for me.
As I grew older, as I got more experienced, Jesus started really showing me who he actually was, the truth of who he actually was. And he really encountered me in some powerful ways. And through those encounters and through believing truth about him and truth about myself, where I had been believing lies, I started noticing that fear would go. Anxiety was lifting, depression was lifting, I wasn't comparing myself with people anymore. And literally, I started recognizing that knowing an authentic Jesus, the truth about who he is, changes everything.
Like, I'm looking at Aslan. As C.S. Lewis represents Jesus as this character of Aslan, and he's playful. He tells jokes, he laughs, he cries. It had all of those elements together with the reverence and the awe and the personality. But in every situation, he wasn't far away and stoic. He was there and personal interacting with those characters. And it was the first time in any type of fiction I'd seen, oh my gosh, you really can do this and it not be cheesy and it not be boring.
I want to introduce Jesus to the world in a meaningful, authentic, and fun way. Those are my three things from my, because I never knew Jesus as fun.
It inspired me to want to present that picture of Jesus to people.
Passion was arising in me of wanting to share this authentic Jesus that I was getting to know with the whole world. And then about 4 years ago, God spoke to me one night and he said, start a vlog. And I'm like, what's a vlog? And I started making these videos. I didn't have a whole lot of direction. I was just being obedient.
So it's been about 14 years in Christian radio. And when that time was done, I ended up starting this YouTube channel. And what I did with my YouTube channel, I wanted to review movies, but I wanted to use those movies as a way to talk about God because it was a great way that I could think of to bring that picture that I saw with Aslan to other people, to show that picture of that authentic Jesus. And that's what I really wanted to do.
Over the years, I was like, why am I even doing this vlog? I feel like it's not going anywhere. I'm not getting any followers, you know, I'm not getting a whole lot of, you know, people seeing it, but I felt to stay consistent with it, so I did.
And so on the one hand, it was a super exciting time as I started my YouTube channel. On the other hand, it was probably one of the more difficult times in my life. Why is my channel moving so slow? And there was a couple times I just compared it to fishing. And I kind of felt like Simon Peter in the Bible, where cast after cast, he caught nothing. I could learn the right kind of bait to use, the right time of day to go out to the water, and learn all of those right techniques, but in the end, it's up to the fish to bite. And so I just was getting kind of sad. I was getting kind of angry. I was like, why am I not catching any fish?
4 years later, 2020 comes, and The Chosen comes into my life. Now, I was really resistant. I didn't want to watch The Chosen. I thought, you know, it's going to be lame and boring and dry like everything I've seen before.
Interesting is when The Chosen came into my life because I started seeing Facebook ads for it. No, I'm not doing that again.
But then I was stuck in my room on a COVID scare in quarantine, so I thought, I've got all the time in the world. So I watched The Chosen, and it started changing everything for me.
Then an ad came up for Matthew, and I went, well, that's bold. That's different. And it's free. Okay, I will check this out. And I binged the entire first season.
It started introducing Jesus in a playful way, and it started healing me in different ways. And so I became very passionate about The Chosen very quickly.
Because as soon as I saw Jesus, I saw Aslan. I saw that authentic Jesus that I encountered when I was 18 years old that I wanted to introduce people to.
I just wanted everyone to see this authentic Jesus that was being portrayed in a way that's never really been portrayed before.
I saw myself. When Simon was out there that night, cast after cast, and he couldn't catch anything, and he got so frustrated, and he cries out with that frustrating prayer to God. I was like, I know that prayer. I've prayed that prayer. I saw something so incredibly relatable about this show, and I knew it was something special that I just really wanted to share this show with people because this is the authentic Jesus that I'm trying to communicate. I almost didn't review it, though.
God told me to give financially, so I gave this larger amount that I felt him put on my heart, and that brought me to Texas to the Sermon on the Mount. And I got to be there for the filming. I got to meet Dallas and Amanda. It was the best day of my life. Amanda and I actually really connected that day. We had this, like, really special connection, and she said, hey, I feel like we need to stay in touch. So I felt the same way.
I'm a nerd, and my YouTube channel is dedicated to superheroes and nerd things and finding God in those nerd things. But something inside said, just review what you like.
Then I made this video about the Sermon on the Mount and my experience, and it blew up. Everyone loved it. I guess it was God gave me wisdom to do it in a different way, and so I did, and I didn't know why.
So I did. And that's the review that changed my life. Now, when I look back at that, I can say that's the time where Jesus said,
put that down for a catch.
6 weeks go by, and I get this message from The Chosen. And I'm like, why is The Chosen personally messaging me? What the heck? They said, hey, Kristen, we love your passion for the show. Our producer saw your video, loved it, and wants to speak with you. Can we get your number? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, The Chosen wants to talk to me. I didn't know why.
So I dropped that one review, which got a comment from Dallas. And then about a year later, as season two was coming out, I did a few more videos, and then I'm getting a message saying, hey, our producer would like to talk to you.
We ended up having a video talk the next day, and over 2 days, found out that they loved my personality, they loved my passion for The Chosen and for Jesus, and I guess I was a good fit for what they were looking for.
After a couple interviews, meeting my co-host Kristen, it turns out we are both right for this.
I end up flying to the States, doing some videos, seeing if I'm a good fit, and getting hired by The Chosen, my favorite TV show. I cannot believe it's happening.
As soon as I started interviewing with Dallas and I met him in person, it became that moment for me where it's like, I actually have an opportunity to be a part of telling this story with you in some way, shape, or form. I would have an opportunity to get to be a part of this. Yes. I will do that in a heartbeat. That is my chosen story of how I ended up right here.
And now I get to make this material, which blows my mind that those desires and dreams in my heart are now coming into fruition. Because when you meet the authentic Jesus, it changes everything.
Well, thank you so much for listening to our stories of how we got involved with The Chosen.
Yeah, it really means a lot to us. And we are so excited to take you on more adventures in the future. So make sure you hit that subscribe button.
Yep, that way you're here for all of the adventures that we go on, and we got a lot of exciting things coming up here.
That's
in the
right.
Very near future.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, so two people who can just promote his dopey show. That's all.
Yep.
That's it. Your comments
but
on
they
this
feel like,
video.
But they feel like they're learning more about the authentic Jesus. They kept using that word in it, and deeper relationships with him, you know, because of watching The Chosen.
Right.
So I just thought that was interesting how they kept throwing that word around.
The word they were told to use when they were hired.
Okay.
Right? That's, you know,
yeah.
He hired them. So when you hire someone, you tell them this is the company line, right? McDonald's has a special sauce for their Big Macs.
The Big Mac.
Talk about the special sauce. That's, you know, that's what you're hired to do. So listen, when you get hired, you know, it's like when an assistant pastor gets hired. He's told, okay, now every time you talk, don't forget to mention the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to talk about how wonderful he is. And that's what you wind up being a walking you wind up being a walking billboard for the senior pastor.
That's
and
right.
You don't talk about Jesus, you're just talking about the pastor. And the pastor's
right.
vision and the pastor's compassion and the pastor this and that. And meanwhile, you know, the pastor's home sleeping till 2 o'clock while you're running around doing all his work.
Right. It just seems like these people feel like they are learning something that it never occurred to them before just by getting involved and watching this show.
Right. But listen, we know what the deal is. These poor souls, these poor
yeah.
souls, deceived. Great show. Great show. You know, this is a worldwide phenomenon that's being fueled
mm-hmm.
by demons, and the Mormons are right there pushing this thing and providing the place where it can be filmed and the costumes and all that. You know, it's it is what it is, and it's going to have its success. It's going to have its followers. There's nothing that anybody's going to be able to do about that. I'm sure Dallas is not looking at our reviews and saying, let me hire these two to promote The Chosen.
No.
Because, you know.
No. Or that young
yeah.
man that did that documentary, I don't think you'll be giving him a call either.
No. Great show, my dear sister. Saints, don't forget, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, Sister Marie will be doing her weekly show, the End Time News Report. She's got a lot of news she's going to be reporting tomorrow. Sister AJ, you have the last word, and thank you once again for a wonderful broadcast.
You're welcome, and thank you to our listeners. Thank you for being here this week, and we'll see you next time. Have a great rest of your day and week.